Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q3 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by entering star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive Officer, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, all of you, and thank you for joining this call today on the results of our Q3 numbers. I'm joined over here in my boardroom by my senior colleagues, so we'll be happy to take questions that you may have after I give my opening comments. I'd like to refer to the presentation that's been circulated and just walk you through some key facts and figures from this presentation. So I'd like to first start with the key highlights for the quarter. Consolidated earnings before tax for the quarter was 409 crores. As it turns out, it's the highest quarterly profit we've had in our history. That was up 30% year-on-year. Adjusted for investment in our recently launched health insurance business, our profit growth was EBT was 465 crores. That would be a growth of 38% year-on-year. The second highlight for us was that we hit our highest-ever total assets under management at just under 3 lakh crores, which is up 31% year-on-year. The third highlight for the quarter was that we had, for our AMC business, the highest-ever domestic AUM market share at 10.8% and highest-ever equity market share at 9.2%. And fourth, for our lending business, we hit the highest-ever lending book in our NBFC and housing finance combined. That book was up 41% year-on-year. At an aggregate level, therefore, quarter-on-quarter, we've seen our revenue grow 26% to 3,325 crores. Year-to-date revenue is up 19% to just under 10,000 crores at 9,225 crores. Earnings before tax for the quarter, 30% up year-on-year. Our lending book, as I said, up 41% year-on-year, and assets under management up 31% year-on-year. So we believe a very strong set of financial and growth metrics across the platform. I'd like to now dive into some of the individual businesses and start with our NBFC, Aditya Birla Finance. Aditya Birla Finance grew its lending book year-on-year by 33%. So our lending book here is 39,770 crores, is 33% over the nine-month period last year. We have maintained our NIM in this business at 4.4% for the nine-month period ended December 31st, 2017. You will notice that the OPEX in the nine-month period is up compared to where it was earlier. A large part of this increase is because of our investment in digital and building our retail unsecured business, both of which we believe are important to continue to build the business and the segments that we're keen to build going forward. In spite of the increase in OPEX, as I just pointed out, our earnings before tax has grown by a very strong 29% in our NBFC. Slide number 8 is a slide we've used before. It shows you the customers and product segments that we cater to. And as we say every time, we believe in diversification, and this slide really shows you the diversification that we have by customer and by product. Over the last quarter, we've seen some increase in both the retail participation in this portfolio as well as the SME participation, which is very much in line with the target we've been talking about earlier as our focus is in building the retail and SME piece of our business. Moving on to slide 9, we've seen good, strong growth in our disbursements in the NBFC business. I've talked already about the investment in digital and retail unsecured lending. In fact, the unsecured business turned profitable in less than 2 years or since we started it. So it's now broken even, and we expect we'll continue to deliver results as we go forward. Actually, these two investments have dampened the ROA slightly compared to where we were in YTD FY17. And were it not for these investments, I think we'd be exactly where we were before making these investments. So the business, as usual, continues to deliver the margins that it was. It's the new investments that are causing us a drop in the ROA and the ROE. We continue to have a well-balanced ALM profile, and we continue to build geographic reach because in order to be able to build our SME business, we believe we need to put branches on the ground and build a feet-on-street reach so that we can reach the customers that we're looking to reach to. So we're adding about 33 new branches so that we'll end up with about 72 branches by the first quarter of FY19. And this is really being put into places where we believe the SME revenue pool lies. Moving on to slide 10, I just called two charts out on this slide. I'm not going to talk about the rest, which I've already covered. But our borrowing continues to remain diversified. Being a wholesale borrower, it's very important for us to make sure we diversify our source of borrowing, and we continue to make sure we have a diversified source of borrowing. And as you see on the bottom right corner there, our headcount has increased from 956 people to about 1,300 people in December. This is really the investment that I was talking about in building digital unsecured, as that requires both a branch network and people on the ground. I want to move on now to our housing finance business. The housing finance business saw very strong growth this quarter, as we've seen for some quarters now. The lending book is double where it was at the same time last year. Again, this is a business in which we maintained our net interest margins, which at 3.1% for the nine-month period, December 2017-18. Cost-income ratio here has actually come down as a result of building scale. We were losing money in the nine-month period ended 16-17. We're now making a profit of 15 crores for the nine-month period ending 17-18. So the scale that we're building in this business is leading to the economies that you can see and the emergence of profit. In this business, if I move on to slide 13, we had the highest ever quarterly disbursement of 1,306 crores. We launched the affordable housing business about 6 months ago, and we've already built a book of over 150 crores with an average ticket size of 11 lakhs, so much lower ticket size, reaching a customer segment that we were not reaching through our normal business, which is really what we wanted to do through this business. We've also spoken earlier about increasing our direct sourcing. Our direct sourcing has increased year on year from 41% to 47%, much in line with the plan that we'd outlined earlier. This business has 44 branches with about 2,300 channel partners. We're targeting to add another 6 branches so that we get to about 50 branches by March 2018. This will give us the network that we need to be able to grow our housing finance business, both our regular business as well as the affordable housing business that I spoke about earlier. On slide 14, I'd just like to call out a couple of slides. The top right slide, which shows our portfolio mix. As you see, we now have about 60% of our portfolio as home loans, 28% as loan against property, and 12% as construction finance. The construction finance portion of our book has grown since last year, Q3, much in line again with our plan and our strategy. We mentioned earlier that we want this to look broadly like a 60-20-20 mix. So we're moving in that direction, as you can see from this slide. And slide 14, if I look at the bottom right, we continue to have a widely diversified geographic mix. We've said time and time again that our risk management believes that diversification is a very important part of risk mitigation. And diversifying our geographic mix and the loan book by geography is an essential part of our risk management strategy as well as our business opportunity. I move on now to our asset management business, and I'll talk about slide 16. Very strong growth in our asset management business. We've seen domestic AUM increase by 33% year on year, driven largely by a very strong growth in our equity AUM, which grew by 84% year on year. As a result of this strong growth in AUM, you've seen a big increase in our earnings before tax, which has grown 72% if I look at just quarter on quarter. And if I look at it for the 9 month period, it's up 41%. FY 17-18 over FY 16-17. So very strong growth in profitability coming through in the asset management business. Again, we have been indicating this for a while, saying as we get the economies of scale, you start seeing the earnings before tax unfold in the asset management business. And another metric on this slide that we find very, very interesting is the SIP book market size, market share, which last year, same time, was about 11.77%. That's now grown to just under 12.1%. So that gives us a good sense of how much of the incremental SIP book we are able to garner at Aditya Birla Sun Life Mutual Fund. Some of the highlights of the asset management business: we hit our highest ever AUM market share at 10.8%. Previous year number was about 10.7%. We are ranked fourth in equity AUM with our highest ever market share at 9.2%. Last year this number was 8.17%. So you've seen over 1% gain in market share in equity AUM. And our domestic equity net sales market share continues to run higher than our current market share. It's at 10.2%, which means incrementally we will gain some market share as we go forward if we continue to maintain this net sale market share. We've continued to focus on building retail and alternate assets. our PMS AUM grew by 66% to end December 31st at about 4,500 crores. We now have about 12 funds that are over $1 billion each. And our focus on building retail reach has started yielding results, because as you see, our AUM from B15 cities grew year on year by 60% versus a 47% growth for the industry as a whole. So we've gained market share in the smaller cities, and we look to continue to do this as we go forward. In this business, as I spoke about our NBFC and our housing finance business, we have continued to add branches and build a geographic footprint. We now have 161 branches in our asset management business. We've added 21 branches over the year so far. The entire business has been underpinned on very strong track record in terms of fund performance, both across asset classes, and we think that was a very important part of this business going forward as well. Then move on to slide 18. I just call your attention to three charts on slide 18. The middle chart on the top talks about our share of equity in domestic AUM. A year ago, that number was 24%. As a result of our focus on building our equity AUM, that number is now 33%. So it's a significant jump in our equity as a percentage of our total AUM, much in line with the strategy we've set out earlier this year. And we've seen a big push in retail, as again we've been talking about from time and time. And therefore, over the last year, we've added some 1.7 million folios. We were 3.6 million folios in December 16. We now have 5.3 million folios. So significant growth in our retail customer base and coming through equity, as I've indicated. Our channel mix here too is diversified, so we work through multiple channels. We have a completely omni-channel business working through direct, national distributors, IFAs and banks, as you see on the bottom right slide on slide 18. So I move on now to our life insurance business. We've seen continued growth in both top line and bottom line in our life insurance business. We talked about this previously, saying we see traction in individual first year premium. Growth there for the 9 month period ended December was 20% over the period for the previous year. We've been able to control our costs. OPEX have been continuously kept under control, and therefore we've seen a big improvement in operating leverage. So you'll see our earnings before tax have grown by 45% for the 9 month period ended December 17 compared to the 9 month period ended December 16. So good growth in top line and good growth in bottom line is the message from the life insurance business. If I look at slide 21, we've actually continued to build our agency channel and agency business without adding new branches or adding new headcount in that business, which is really therefore a function of improved productivity and a much more balanced product mix, which I think is adding to the value that you're seeing that we're building in this business. A non-agency has been something we've been talking about earlier, saying the market is growing faster in the non-agency channels, and therefore that's an area we want to be able to build our presence in. And non-agency channels now contribute 33% of our individual new business premium compared to 25% last year. We tied up with HDFC Bank in July of last year. That tie-up is now gaining traction as we have opened up more and more channels and continue to see good traction coming through our sales month on month in that channel. We've had a big focus in terms of improvement in the quality of our business. You'll notice our 13-month persistency has improved year on year from 71% to 72%. We've also had a big focus in terms of building up your protection business. That is doubled year on year from about 2% last year to about 5% this year. This is only the individual business. This doesn't include group term. On slide 22, I'll just call out the two charts. Bring to your attention our product mix, which is a very balanced product mix. We are evenly balanced between PAR, non-PAR, and ULIPs, with the 5%, as I said, coming from term products. We think this is a product mix that works well for us in terms of generating value, given the distribution and business model that we have. And the bottom right hand of slide 22 talks about our fund performance, which, as you see, across three funds, across different time frames, continues to remain strong. We think this, again, is a very important basis on which to be able to build the life insurance business. I'll move on now to slide 24 and talk about our health insurance business. It's our newest business. It's been around now for just over a year. In the 9 months of this fiscal year, this business has generated a very strong growth and gross premium of 173 crores in the 9 month period. And we cover over 8 lakh lives already as on date. So that really is very significant traction built in a very short period of time. Our market share of fresh GWP in the 9-month period that we are talking about for now is about 2%. And retail contribution is continuing to increase. You know, obviously, over this period of time, we've been building our retail capacity both through agency as well as through banca and other channels. So retail contributed about 28% in Q3 FY18 versus 16% in the first half of FY18. We've created significant scale already across our channels in our first year of operation. Our agency today has just under 14,000 agents operating across 59 branches. So we today have both geographic presence as well as an agency presence across a large part of India. We already have 5 banca tie-ups in our, you know, what is really our first full year of operation. We've got tie-ups with HDFC Bank, with DCB, with RBL, with Deutsche, and with AU Small Finance Bank. We also built a very strong provider network, and we've tied up with over 3,500 hospitals across 500 cities to make sure that our customers get access to healthcare needs as they require, as they buy our products. Being a slightly late entrant in this business has allowed us to make this business much more digital than otherwise. So about 65% of our retail business is issued through the digital mode, and our digital online channel already contributes about 12% of retail business, and we see this contribution actually increasing over time. We have completed our product suite in this business, so now we have the product suite in place, we have our distribution capacity in place, and really it's a question now of driving scale through the capacity that we've built on the ground. Moving on to the last slide, which is slide 25, our general insurance advisory business has gained market share. Market share at the end of December was 2.28%, prior year was about 2.1%. The quarterly revenue in this business was about 73 crores and earnings before tax of about 8 crores. Our broking business has benefited from the general rise in volumes in the market. We achieved the highest ever quarterly profit there of about 3.6 crores versus 3 crores in the previous year. Now that I've walked you through our main businesses, I'll stop and be very happy to take questions that you may have between myself and my colleagues sitting over here.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue and your questions have been answered, you may enter star and 2. Participants are requested to use her handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Abhishek Saraf from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. I have a few questions across NBFC, HFC and the insurance business. So in NBFC, if I see sir, the breakdown in terms of your AUM, so the structured finance book has come down from 5% to 1%. So could you just share the reason is why that has happened and what is the trajectory you are looking forward to on that part? On the HFC side, I just wanted to understand that within HFC, the housing finance, what share are you targeting for affordable housing? Because that is something which is finding very strong traction. And if you can also share your assessment on the NIMs or spreads in that business versus the overall HFC business.
So Abhishek, you said you had a third question on life insurance. You want to ask that as well and we can answer all three questions?
Yeah, so in life insurance, I just wanted to understand that you said that the partnership with the HDFC Bank is shaping up well. So in terms of overall banca, now what share of overall banca is HDFC Bank contributing? And I believe that right now you have not got access to HDFC's core branches. And so when do you expect that will start to also open up for you?
So Abhishek, your first question on the structured finance, I mean, I don't have an answer straight away, but I think it's probably a repayment. As you know, this quarter we've had a large number of repayments coming through. So my guess is that one of the items must have been a repayment on the structured finance portfolio. Your second question on affordable housing, I'll request Rakesh Singh to respond to that.
So the affordable business is a pretty new business. We started 6 months back and we have built the team capability across the geographies. So right now, the margins, the question which you had, the difference in terms of the margins between the two, There is a slight uptake on the margins, but very early days in terms of giving a indication what will be the, as we build the capabilities in the affordable segment and try and get into the segments which are more informal, we will see an uptick in terms of the margins, Abhishek, at this point in time.
Sure.
HDFC, Abhishek, I think, like we said, we just started the relationship, but every month we are seeing, you know, significantly more business than we've seen earlier. Roughly so far, we are expecting we'll do about probably 10 crores a month or so will be the momentum in the near future from the non-bank channels.
Okay. Okay, and sir, just one on the EMC part. Obviously, you've got a higher share of the SIP book market share versus, let's say, overall equity. So the SIP book is actually growing faster for you. So just wanted to understand, will it be fair to say that it is more profitable? And going forward, could this be a key margin driver for the company? Because SIP is fairly stable, and I would believe that the trailing costs will be much lower in SIPs. Is that a fair assessment?
So Abhishek, there's no difference in payout between SIP and a normal equity transaction. So it's really the fact that it's equity versus non-equity that drives the margin. And as you've seen, as we continue to build our equity portfolio, you can start seeing the improvement in our profitability.
Okay. So the way to look at SIP would be that it would be more of a steady source of inflow for you. So will that be a right way to look at it then?
That's right. Okay. Steady flows of largely equity inflow.
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vihang Mishra from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. This is Vihang. I just wanted to understand what is the capital adequacy ratio in the NBFC business.
17.98%.
Okay. And how's the trend been for last year or two, sir?
Running in the range of 16 to 16 and a half around 18 months ago. And over the last six quarters, we have been increasing. So September, it was 17.33. And now it is 17.98.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Srijan Sinha from Future Generali India Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you, sir, for taking my question. I wanted to understand a bit on your asset management business. The channel mix says that as of December 17, it's 43% direct. So just wanted to understand on this. So is it as a percentage of your overall AUM, or if you could tell me the similar number for as a percentage of your folio? How many folios are from the direct channels?
So this is for our total AUM, and this is largely, as you know, institutional money that comes in, because that money mostly comes in from institutions into us directly. By the way, this number is not very different for the industry. We are about 42 point something. Industry is about 41 or so. So this is broadly the industry trend that large institutional investors typically access mutual funds through the direct channel.
Okay, any idea on what would this amount, this number be for the equity AUM?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it'll be about 19%.
19%. Okay, and so my second question is on the housing finance piece. What is the capital adequacy ratio there, and what is the risk-weighted asset out there?
It is 15.4.
15.4 is the capital adequacy, and the risk-weighted asset would be?
There is a different risk weight on different products. So for our home loans, there is a different on loan against property, there is different, and on the CF.
Yeah.
But so it's in line with the regulation provided by NHB.
Okay, so there'll be an absolute number, right, of the risk weight asset. Can I get that?
We'll calculate it and let you know.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Participants, if you would like to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Vikas Agarwal from AAA Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Though my first question is actually on what do you see as the growth prospects for the NBFC business going forward?
We continue to believe that there is significant growth opportunity for the NBFC by any parameter you look at. You look at credit to GDP across different segments and you look at penetration of credit across different segments. We continue to see that as a big opportunity for growth.
And in which segment specifically do you see a huge opportunity?
So we've said before that we see opportunity across all segments, but we are more focused on building our book in terms of SME and retail. So you see differential focus from our side in those two segments, but we see opportunity across the platform.
Okay. And do we see any risk to our loan against shares portfolio, you know, in light of the market fall recently, or do you think we are well covered?
You know, the regulations changed some time ago to build 2x cover on the loan against shares portfolio. So there's actually a significant cushion available in this portfolio now, and we've seen absolutely no problem at all.
Okay. And in the life insurance business, how do we see the share of protection going forward?
So we are currently at about 5%. Our aim is to get this to about, 6.5% by the end of the year.
Okay. And what about the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, I think we are focused on building this. I think it will continue to grow by a percent a year. That's what we are looking to do. So about 8% will give us a very good mix of protection going forward.
Right. And what is driving the growth in this protection business? I mean, our agents, because agents wouldn't be, incentivized to drive this business, is my understanding.
So, I think it's a function of, one, focus. All companies are focusing on selling protection. And fortunately for us, agency is selling a lot of protection. And as you see, there are a lot of marketing activities which all companies are doing. And okay. We are seeing a lot of awareness in the younger generation which are buying insurance. And digital is also helping the whole in driving protection.
Okay. And what about pricing pressure? Are we seeing, because of the increased competition in the life insurance space, what is the kind of competitive intensity in the market today?
So it continues to be it's price sensitive, but we are not seeing much margin pressure as of now. While every 6 to 9 months, we do see one player coming and doing disruption. But more than price, I think it is the brand which plays a more important role. And amongst the top 5-6 companies, our brand is very strong, which is helping us gain market share in this space.
Okay. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have participants in queue. So you'll have to come back with your questions,
okay,
sir.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sankalp Baid from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I wanted to check, what is the consolidated gross debt we have? Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't get the question.
What is the consolidated gross debt we have on ABCL? Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we just hear you. That's what was it.
So you want debt for NBFC plus housing finance company plus any other debt that we have, right?
Yes, true.
Yeah. 300
crores.
So 33,300 is our NBFC NBFC debt.
Housing
is 6,500
crores.
Housing is 6,500. Yes. And we have probably another 500 crores of debt other than that.
Okay. And... sir, in terms of capital allocation plan to the various businesses, what are our view in next 12 months, say in FY18 and FY19, going forward?
So, our growth businesses are our NBFC, our HFC, both of them require capital
right.
To fund growth because they're both growing reasonably quickly. And the third business that we've been calling out earlier in terms of requirement of capital is our health insurance business. This is a business that will have probably a 4 or 5 year gestation. So it will require capital for that period of time. So our health insurance, home finance and NBFC will be the primary users of capital.
What is the quantum?
ARC is the other business that we will have to put capital. There's regulatory capital that needs to be put into that business as well as the business capital to grow that business.
So what is the quantum you're expecting, say, by FY19?
It's, you know, it's difficult to give you a specific number because it really depends on the growth in each of these businesses. So you can look at our past numbers. I mean, that'll give you a sense of the numbers we are likely to go with.
No, no. Specifically for, say, ARC and health insurance, those are, we don't have much track record.
Yeah.
So, because NBFC, HFC, I think we can say, okay, the gearing is what broadly gearing you will had in past. But in terms of health insurance, ARC, any numbers you can give?
So ARC regulatory capital is 100 crores. We haven't yet drawn up our final business plan, so I can't really tell you what the delta will be.
Mm-hmm.
But the regulatory capital is 100 crores, which we will end up putting pretty soon.
Right.
The health insurance business, again, capital is a function of growth. So our sense is, you know, depending on the strength of growth, it will be between 150 to 200 crores as a whole. Our contribution is 50% of that, 51% of that.
Okay. So in our LAP portfolio, in our HFC, we have decreased from 34% to 28%, while the overall asset book has grown. So any particular reason we are although I know the target is 20%, any particular reason are we seeing a higher delinquency in LAP portfolio?
No, so we are not seeing higher delinquency in our LAP portfolio.
Huh.
As we had mentioned earlier also, we are looking at a product mix of 60% of home loans, 20% loan against property and 20% developer finance. So that's how we are looking at.
So, okay, so in terms of the yield, how the yield spread has been in the LAP portfolio? We've been hearing that there's a compression which is happening in market. Is it true for you also?
So yes, there is a pressure on the pricing, but as of now, we are managing our margins on the LAP as well.
Okay.
If you look at the overall margins, are quite consistent over the last quarter.
3.1%.
Okay. Okay, fine. And also, in terms of LTV and average ticket size of LAP portfolio would be? Average? Average LTV and ticket size of LAP portfolio?
So our LTV on LAP in housing would be around 60%.
Okay.
60% will be LTV. And the other question was?
Ticket size.
Ticket size will be around 75 to 80 lakhs.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alpesh Mehta from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Congrats for the good set of numbers. First question is on the NBFC business. Sequentially, there is marginal increase into gross NPLs. If you can give some color on that.
So the if you look at the NPAs, is in line with our numbers last year. We have been growing our unsecured business in the last 2 years or so, and we have aggressive provisioning policy on that. So if we remove that, I think our numbers are very, very stable and is in line with what it was earlier. And for the unsecured business also, it's well within the product parameters which we have defined.
Okay. Do we have, apart from the reported NPLs, any other form of the stress loans on the balance sheet in terms of S4A, SDR, something like that?
No. In fact, if you look at, we have another line of provisioning, which is a contingent line of provisioning. So we don't have anything apart from what is reported already.
And what would be the pool of that contingent provision on the balance sheet?
So that's 35 crores for the 9 month period ended December 31st.
And so this is for during the year you made 35 crores, or that is the outstanding balance on the balance sheet?
So that's during the year, but you only started making it fourth quarter of last year. So I think the total number would probably be about 40 crores or so.
Cumulative?
Yeah.
So cumulative number would be
50 crores.
Sorry, 40 crores.
50 crores. The cumulative will be about 50 crores. 35 is in this year, and we made provision in the last quarter of last year.
Okay. Secondly, since the share of unsecured book is increasing, but the yields are under a little bit of pressure, so we are seeing over the last one or two quarters there has been some pressure on the margins. Where do you see in this business margin stabilizing?
In unsecured?
No, overall at the book level. Since, despite the unsecured piece going up, the margins are still under a little bit of pressure.
So our margins are, if you look at, have marginally improved from 4.3 to 4.4%. And our overall unsecured book is still relatively very, very small to make a big impact on the overall portfolio. But as we grow more retail and SME, we will see that our margin should improve.
Okay. And just the last question from my side. How do you see the borrowing profile shaping up going forward? Would the mix remain the same, or there would be a conscious shift towards some specific form of borrowing going ahead?
So over the last 1.5 years, again, we have been shifting our borrowing profile in favor of market borrowing. And now I think we have reached broadly an optimum mix. But yes, in a dynamic market, we will keep looking at it every month, every quarter. But broadly, I think we are there in terms of optimum.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shri Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what is the absolute capital infusion that you envisage in the NBFC and the HFC segments in FY19?
Shri Kumar, I think somebody just asked that question, and I said that it really depends on the growth, and we don't have a clear view on what exactly that growth number is going to look like over the year. But like I was telling the other participant, if you look at our history, you'll get a good sense of what the capital requirement is depending on how we grow.
Right. Sir, and coming to the HFC, when can we see a steady improvement in the ROE? So what are the near-term targets that you have set for yourselves?
Rakesh had mentioned last time that in a three-year time frame, we're expecting the ROE to get to about 1.2, 1.3, and therefore ROE will be around 14 to 15%. It's a three-year journey is what we talked about last time.
Right. And if I were to ask the same question in the case of NBFC, sir, we see that the ROEs have kind of touched 14.8. Now they're down to slightly down to 14.5. So what is the steady state which you're looking at this level of growth?
Like I said earlier, I mean, part of this is ROE is reflecting the investment we've made in digital and unsecured. If you actually take that out, our ROE is roughly the same as it was earlier, in fact, slightly higher. So the regular business, our steady stream business actually is generating attractive and consistent ROA, ROE. The new business investment has depressed it slightly for this quarter. But we believe that this is where, we will get expansion in margins going forward. So as we invest in the unsecured business and the digital business, ultimately it will start showing in both ROA and ROE.
Can you quantify that, sir, as to what will be the steady state or the medium term, which you will be targeting, both in terms of ROA and ROE?
So, I think if we get the mix of the retail and SME and unsecured that we're looking at right in a couple of years, so 2 to 3 years, I think we should be looking at about 16 to 17% ROE.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dipen Sheth from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for letting me take the question. So I just wanted to understand one thing about the NBFC business. The repayment number, the disbursement number, 32,000 odd crores, looks humongously large when the book itself is about 40,000 crores. I would have thought that in your kind of business mix, the churn, the repayment churn would be a little lesser. So is there something I'm missing here? So there are parts, of course, which will churn faster, but is there a lot of money coming in, going out, and a lot of sloshing happening all over the place?
So, yes, there is a lot of churning which is there. And apart from that, there are line of credit which gets renewed and enhanced. So
okay.
You will have to look at that way as well.
So that's
okay,
a nine-month number.
Yes, sir.
That number is a nine-month number. It's not a quarter number. Just want to clarify.
Yes. So, you know, in the 9 months, we've grown the book by something like, what, 9,000 crores, right? So that, of course, would have to be disbursed at a net level, at least. Now, if I strip that out from the 31,000, that's still 22,000, which I thought was a little high, but if that's the nature of the business, I stand corrected. Fair point. And if you will allow me one more question. So you've still got a very low level and a very creditably low level of NPAs, but I would love to know what the PAR is running at. Is that something you can disclose? So we are at about 70 bips on gross NPA, right?
Yes.
Now, and this is obviously, unless I'm thoroughly mistaken, this is on 90 DPD.
Yes, it's all on 90 DPD. So, if your question is what it will be at 60 PAR...
No. Yes, of course. Yes, so what's the PAR book like right now? So, is it like another 200 bips or is it like 20, 30, 50 bips?
So, if you look at a 60, it will be another 20, 30 bips.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I guess for an NBFC, as you go below 60, it will obviously be a little higher than what it would be typically for banks.
No, ours is quite, so in fact, we track one day overdue and we track the bounce rates and all. And
yeah.
We compare quite well with the banking industry in terms of, in fact, in certain segments and certain products, we are better than the banks also.
No, that's really encouraging. I'm happy if you're paranoid about that bit. No complaints there. Okay, and finally... So you've got about, you know, 15, 20 segments in the loan book. So which segment is the most stressed and which is the least? If you could think of the top one or two, which are, you know, where you get the maximum sleep and where you get the minimum sleep.
Our overall portfolio, if you look at, 85% of our overall portfolio is secured in nature, which is backed by a real estate collateral, a listed security. So our portfolio is quite well collateralized, apart from backed by the cash flows and the receivables.
Okay.
So if you look at, and that's the reason, in fact, our client selection, and we are very paranoid on the overall quality of the book. So I think we sleep well with this kind of quality of portfolio. So, yeah.
But I think there's any specific segment or customer group that's, you know, more or less dependent. I think the fact is that...
It's kind of well spread out. Is that a fair assumption to make?
Yes, very well diversified.
Okay, so even the stress is well diversified across. It's not that it's showing up more in some parts of the book.
No, absolutely right.
Okay, fair enough. And if you will allow me a question on the insurance business.
Sure.
Okay, so it's good to see that protection is increasing in the mix. Is this a result of more the credit life or the group business in the protection?
As I mentioned earlier, this is only our individual business. It doesn't count our group business at all.
Oh, it doesn't count the group business at all. So that's that makes it even more creditable. And and I can't see a VNB margin for the 9 month period, so I'm assuming it's still in the negative.
No, we don't disclose it every quarter.
Yeah, every 6 months is when I will normally get to see.
We disclose it next quarter. But
okay.
Like we had said last time, our gross margin at the half year for March 31st actually is about 29% gross margin. Our net VNB was -5.5 for March 31st, 17. And we signaled that actually we expect this to keep coming down and keep improving over a period of time. We're very much on track for that.
So I'm hoping to see a break-even at some scale or something.
So we had said break-even last, when we spoke last quarter, we had said break-even in 4 to 6 quarters. That is.
And we're on track. Super. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saurabh Dole from TriVantage Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Nikhil Jory. Congratulations, Ajay, for reporting a very solid set of numbers, particularly in terms of the asset quality in your lending businesses. So keep it up and all the best. Just a question on the asset management business. You know, it is really getting into the leadership club now. Could this be a thought, you know, that you would want to list it separately in line with now a few other large asset managers listing, and that could unlock the value a bit for your shareholders? Is that a possibility that you are thinking about, or not really?
That's not something we're thinking about at this point in time, Nikhil.
Okay. The other question is, you know, in terms of the margins now, you know, particularly how the equity share of the AUM has grown up quite significantly. But, you know, given where the markets are now, you know, in your business plan for the asset management, do you fear that the margins could now come under a bit of pressure as the interest rates become so attractive, and therefore, you know, the shift of some AUMs happens in terms of, you know, these low margin FMPs or the debt mutual funds again? So is that something that you are thinking could be a possibility now?
So, you know, I think at the margin, I do expect that there will be more flows into fixed income, Nikhil. So to that extent, yeah, there will be some reduction. But don't forget that when we acquire equity assets, we are actually writing off the cost of equity in the year in which we are acquiring those equity assets as well. So if there's a switch from equity to any other asset, we get a benefit from that drain as well. So I don't expect margins is going to come under much pressure in the short term, at least for us.
All right. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shirish Jain from NBS Brokerage. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask that the margins have reduced if we compare last full year versus 9 months or quarter on quarter. I want to ask, where do you see a sustainable PAT margin, and what are you expecting for this year end as PAT margins?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Can you just repeat it?
Yes, I just wanted to ask, what are the sustainable PAT margins according to you? Because we see when we compare to FY17, the PAT margins are low.
Which business are you referring to?
Overall, consolidated basis.
Yeah, so consolidated has a number of businesses underlying. So when you look at our health insurance business, we're investing significant amounts of money over there to build that business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to look at it actually on an underlying basis. Therefore, we always talk about each of our businesses and what the traction is in each of those businesses. And there you can see the net profit margin in our asset management business. You can look at it in our NBFC. You'll see very healthy margins. When you aggregate it, you include businesses that we are still kind of seeding and still growing. Our home insurance business, housing finance business, or our health insurance business, both are in investment stage. You can't aggregate them into the whole to look for stable margins at this stage.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I don't know whether you're referring to the single sheet in terms of net profit last year versus this year. Please look at the like-to-like, because BSLI was only transferred at a particular point in time. Mm-hmm. So the like-to-like is really the column you should compare to. So you see a significant growth in profitability when you look at like-to-like versus if you don't look at the like-to-like.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alpesh Mehta from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Just one question. If I look at the segmental numbers on the exchanges, the segmental assets for the asset management business is around 322 crores, whereas the segmental liabilities are around 294 crores. So I believe the balance is the net worth, but the net worth seems to be very low on that business. Any specific reason? Because the NBFC net worth and the life insurance management net worth are largely matching, but as asset management, there seems to be some missing link over there. Hello?
So where is it lying? Alpesh is lying under unallocated, because all our investments in the mutual fund lie in this thing called unallocated.
Unallocated corporate assets.
Okay, your investments into those mutual funds. It's
yeah, exactly.
But this is the... So basically the balance between the total assets and the liability would be the consolidated net worth at the group level, isn't it?
Yes, should be.
Okay. But I believe our net worth on the AMC business is around 1,000 crores, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it will be more than that.
So even if I do the unallocated corporate assets minus liabilities, it's around 500 crores. And the balance between the asset management assets and the liabilities is around hardly 25 crores.
I'll just run the numbers and I'll let you know offline.
But we'll take you through these numbers offline. We'll do the calculation.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
So thank you very much for joining this earnings call. If any of you have any subsequent queries that haven't been asked or haven't been answered, please feel free to write into us. We'll be happy to take your questions. But thank you very much for joining this call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for any further query or details, please get in touch with Mr. Pramod Vora. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.